for WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Dry conditions and gusty winds create an increased wildfire risk. Voters in Waynesboro countersue to force the local electoral board to certify the results of the election on November 5th. Meanwhile, more than 1,600 Virginians have had their voter registrations canceled since August under a state program that the Justice Department and advocacy groups contend is illegal. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, October 24th. The National Weather Service says dry conditions and gusty winds today are creating an elevated fire risk. Relative humidity of just 20 to 30% combined with sustained westerly winds of up to 15 miles per hour and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour will cause more rapid drying of the leaves and other fine fuels that burn. Fall fire season runs through the end of November. UVA Health says it has resumed most elective procedures. A nationwide shortage of IV fluid due to damage at a plant in North Carolina from Tropical Storm Helene caused the hospital system to postpone non-emergency surgeries earlier this month. A spokesperson for the hospital says elective procedures have resumed at UVA Health facilities in Culpeper, Haymarket, and Manassas. IV fluid supplies are not expected to return to normal until the end of the year. University of Virginia President Jim Ryan has announced that the school will review its response to a spring semester encampment of pro-Palestine protesters. The Daily Progress reports that Ryan's announcement came during a recent UVA Senate faculty meeting. The faculty senate called for a review shortly after 27 people, most of whom were UVA students, were arrested in May when law enforcement deployed pepper spray into a large crowd. Five registered voters in Waynesboro have filed a lawsuit requesting that a judge force the local electoral board to certify the results of the election on November 5th. The suit, filed Monday against the board's chairman, Curtis Lilly II, and vice chairman Scott Mayers, comes 3 weeks after the pair filed a lawsuit of their own. In their original suit, Lilly and Mayers assert that the vote-counting machines used in Virginia are unconstitutional. The plaintiffs in the countersuit have requested a declaratory judgment, injunctive relief, and a writ of mandamus. Their suit says the electoral board's, quote, certification duties are ministerial and they have no discretion over the certification process. The suit also says certifying election results has been recognized for centuries. Three Democrats and one independent are competing for three open seats on the Harrisonburg City Council, Bridget Manley reports.
Councilman Chris Jones lost his primary bid earlier this year, ending a decade-long tenure. But Harrisonburg Mayor Dina Reed, Vice Mayor Laura Dent, and newcomer Nasser Al-Sadoun advanced out of the Democratic contest in June. They'll join independent candidate Javier Calleja in the November election. Bobby Gentry, a Bridgewater College political science professor, said Harrisonburg, like many cities, is facing an affordable housing crisis. And Reed, Dent, and Al-Sadoun have made housing one of their campaign priorities.
The cost of housing is extremely high, and this directly impacts the amount of available housing. Now, Harrisonburg absolutely is building more housing, but it's about whether or not that housing is affordable.
Kajeha is focusing on limiting tax increases and investing in infrastructure and public safety. I'm Bridget Manley.
More than 1,600 Virginians have had their voter registrations canceled since August under a state program that the Justice Department and advocacy groups contend is illegal. A federal judge in Alexandria will hear a challenge today to Virginia's efforts to remove people from the voter rolls in advance of the election. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has more.
The days and weeks before an election are supposed to be a quiet time when state election officials are prohibited from purging the voter rolls. That's why some voting advocates are concerned about an executive order from Governor Glenn Youngkin that calls for daily purges of people flagged by the Department of Motor Vehicles as potentially non-citizens. Anna Dorman is counsel at Protect Democracy.
Executive Order 35 is part of a very dangerous trend across the country of politicians implying or even explicitly stating that ineligible voters are participating in our elections. This is not true. There is no evidence to support these lies.
The governor says he's following the same state law as previous governors, which calls for the DMV to flag potential non-citizens. He's just doing it daily instead of monthly. Ryan Snow at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law says that opens the door to paperwork errors and honest mistakes disenfranchising legitimate voters.
If this information were transmitted from DMV on a monthly basis, there may be some safeguards in place on the DMV side, at least, that would be able to catch that as an error.
The Department of Justice acknowledges that sometimes voters can be kicked off the rolls during the 90-day quiet period if they commit a felony, for example. The question for the federal judge is whether the DMV reports should be a noise piercing the quiet. I'm Michael Pope.
Regardless of who wins the 2024 presidential election, farmers in Virginia's agribusinesses, including food, fiber, and fuel, expect changes in the future. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
We don't make sugar here. We don't grow bananas. About everything else you can get from here.
That's Cliff Williamson with the Virginia Agribusiness Council talking about how broad his industry is in the Commonwealth. And it's been a rocky decade. Former President Donald Trump put tariffs on industries he advocates for, and President Joe Biden has maintained some of those tariffs while aiming to provide federal aid to boost American businesses. When it comes to this year's election, Williamson warns that additional tariffs could hurt Virginians' bottom lines.
We see a market retraction away from high-risk sales. And when people don't understand what's going to happen, people quit spending money on it.
Terry Repan is an economist at the Weldon Cooper Center at UVA. He said Trump's earlier experiments with tariffs and promises to add even more if he wins aren't likely to inspire much confidence across Virginia. He also noted Biden's injection of federal funds to new U.S. manufacturing plants hasn't fully materialized yet. Repan fears Trump's similar hope to see U.S. production buoyed by new tariffs is also on shaky ground.
You do sacrifice some degree of your quality of life because your prices go up. There's a price to be paid for that safety and security.
Still, that economic uncertainty has been good news for Virginia agribusiness in the short term. Williamson told Radio IQ it's led many international buyers to purchase excess goods ahead of November 5th.
Well, finally today, it is less than 2 weeks to Election Day. Brad spoke with election officials and those close to the process for this report on what happens after the counting ends.
You might think the election process ends when ballots get counted and reported to the state on election night. But for many election officials, there's much more work to be done. The morning after the election, local boards of elections return to work and the canvass begins. David Nichols is the former election service manager at the Virginia Department of Elections. He spent nearly 7 years helping administer and support Virginia's annual elections and primaries. Nichols called the canvass an accounting process because it counts the number of votes cast versus the number of people registered in the poll book. Imagine 100 votes were cast. Ideally, the poll book should show 100 people showed up, but sometimes it doesn't add up.
That check-in process is a human process. And, sometimes somebody gets a little, messed up on those, especially when you're dealing with poll workers who only do this once or twice a year.
Nichols noted the room for error because it highlights the opportunities for the system to correct itself. More on that later. But first, back at the canvas, the sealed ballots stay sealed unless an issue arises. They also look at write-in votes as the machine tape also spits out digital images of ballots. In Virginia, there's some lag time for absentee ballots to come in. They must be postmarked by Election Day, but they're due the Friday after. That wait can be pushed further if Friday is a holiday. Either way, local electoral boards, made up of members of both parties, have 10 days after the election to finish the canvass and certify the votes. If the race is local, that's where the process stops. But if it's multi-jurisdictional, statewide, or a federal race, those certified totals, in the form of an abstract, get sent to the Virginia Board of Elections. Once in the state board's hands, the numbers get checked again. A computer system not only keeps the running number of votes, it also automatically checks for unusual numbers from a locality.
And they're literally looking at the results tapes that come off of the absentee machine and the early voting machine and saying, here's this. So there oftentimes are just some small data entry errors there.
Notably, a statewide system managed by the Department of Elections requires any changes be entered into a statewide report, which is publicly available. After the grand tally of votes taken from local abstracts and checked against the state system is added, physical versions of statewide tabulations are then printed. At a meeting of the State Board of Elections in early December, a member moves to certify the votes and an election is done. At least ideally. That's where Jason Torchinsky, a partner at the Virginia law firm of Holtzman Vogel, comes in. He's been involved in Virginia election disputes for about 20 years. He said the two possible kinds of post-election challenges are recount requests and contests, and both require certification before they can be initiated. Recounts are what's seen most often.
The big decision is, do you actually request a recount? Virginia is not a state that has automatic recounts. So, you know, if somebody wants to request one, they've actually got to go through the statutory process to initiate it. There's deadlines, there's timeframes, and Virginia's pretty strict about it. If you miss the deadlines or the timeframe or the procedure, then there's no recount.
And he's rarely seen a recount go the way a losing party hopes. The second challenge to an election's outcome is called a contest. Such claims have a high bar to clear, with convincing evidence that something really, really went wrong with the election in order for a court to step in. Lawyers can also get involved during the canvassing process. They observe and step in when individual ballots are contested. They do that during the recounts as well. But Torchinsky said the number of votes required to flip an election is high. There's also constitutional claims that could be brought in federal court, a similarly high bar to cross, but one that leaves room for creative lawyering. And with the many changes made to Virginia's election laws over the last few years, it could take only one sour candidate to see how far the courts will go. Torchinsky quoted what he called the election officer's prayer.
Dear God, please don't let this election be close. And it's true, right? I mean, you don't see the problems in a system until the system gets inspected with a fine-tooth comb.
One new trend among election conspiracy theorists is the local board's ability to refuse to certify their locality's election results. But Virginia Elections Commissioner Susan Beals suggested such options don't exist in Virginia while speaking at a recent meeting at the legislature.
Certification is a ministerial duty. And there are avenues for individuals for a losing candidate, if they have concerns about an election, if they would like to raise those concerns, they can go through the courts.
Election Day happens November 5th. Early voting has already started. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.